We are starting back Masterclass Monday here in the Brave Collective, and as part of the Brave Dojo's training of newbies and everybody. So we'll have a couple of weeks here in a row with a series of guests talking about anything about what we're doing today, from how to deal with super capitals and caps when they come on field and you're in sub caps, and then we'll go all the way to weird shit like exploration and industry and what's all this new stuff with invention,
There's a lot
as
of
well as
puzzles
just
on.
your standard PvP things that are always good to hear as this game continually changes and brings about new content and new ways to enjoy the content that we already have. So I want to introduce our guest is one of our own in the Hero Coalition. It's BC Pro, the CEO of the Bloodline Alliance, and he is going to be talking about how to deal with supers and capital ships in the post-Phoebe world, and what we can do to maybe better not freak out whenever they land on grid. So I hope you get some stuff out of this. I think it's going to be really cool, and we always welcome your feedback, and of course we always welcome your donations if you want to give at any sort of amount to the Brave Dojo. You can do that, and we can hook you up. So thank you very much, and here's BC Pro.
How we doing, gents? Can y'all hear me down there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. So a lot of you know me as the FC that will breathe fire up your ass, and just to let you know, that is kind of my little split personality thing. Outside of fleets and whatnot, I'm generally pretty sociable and whatever, but when it's time to get in a fleet and get the job done, comms discipline, as you guys, some of you guys may or may not know, is like one of my biggest pet peeves in the game. Enough about me, let's talk about us here. Yeah, so show of hands and fleet, how many of you guys here think PL is here to take our space? Go ahead and just drop an X and fleet.
What?
All of it? If you think they're here to take their space as opposed to fun fights, put an X
Repeat the
fleet.
question. How many of you guys here think it's PL to kick us out of catch and take our space? X up and fleet. Not quite the meta X I was looking for, but those of you guys that are Xing up, you're wrong. Because if PL actually wanted to take our space, do you think we'd only be seeing 30 supers out there? And do you think they would be taking one system at a time and only doing one set of timers at a time? No, they wouldn't. You would see 3 to 4 groups of 30 supers, and they'd be taking a constellation at a time, and they would easily flip catch in a couple weeks at the most. Those of you that read up on E24, Mitanni, Kagutsuman's out now, whatever various fucking Eve news stories that you may read, a lot of them. Oh yeah, I forgot to give my little warning too. This will be a rated R conversation if you're sensitive or you got children around. Put your headphones on. In any case, if PL wanted to take the entire region, they do it in a week or two tops. Right now, if you look at everything that's been going on, PL is stationed in Curse, yes, and rumors are out that Rust paid them to help flip Scalding Pass or whatever, right? Well, up in the past and everything, we've been working with NC, so Rust sees us as an N3 entity and whatnot, and therefore Rust is paying PL to basically keep us out of the fight so Rust can take Scalding Pass, Wicked Creek, and whatever else their little heart desires or whatever. But at the end of the day, PL is not here to take your space, and they would have taken half a catch already. That's basically the meat and bones of it. Now, let's talk about super capitals and whatnot. Yes, we are primarily a sub-capital coalition. We do have a good amount of supers, carriers, and whatnot, but we're not nearly as, we would say, nearly as experienced or nearly as able to use them in great quantities, because let's just face it, PL is a super capital alliance, and that's what they do, and that's their specialty. Much like Bloodline, we are a Black Ops entity, and that's what we specialize in. And Brave specializes in the, I don't know, the Eagle Fleet and the ha ha ha, I got 1,000 MOAs and you're dead type fleet. Bit of history for myself and whatnot. Yes, yeah, I was a noob at one point. I was a 100,000 million or 100,000 skill point Ibis pilot. We've all been there. We've all done that. And we've all seen our first super capital jump on grid. And we're like, oh shit, super caps. Ah! Sorry, I made you go deaf there. The long and short of it is, super caps are only as useful until their drones are empty, which in this case, super capitals were nerfed about a year and a half ago, I believe it was, to where they can only launch fighter bombers. That being said, they're basically structure bashing weapons and anti-capital weapons. Okay, great. We don't fly capitals, so that's one big bonus for us. We do fly a shitload of destroyers and a shitload of other things. The last week or so went out, we've been seeing a lot of, a lot of PL supercaps flipping systems one at a time. I've been on field the last few days or whatever. And, they're basically being 30 supers and a tanky fleet and a handful of scimitars. And pretty solid fleet comp, I'll give it that. They do bring dreads too, but at the end of the day, we know we can't fight supercapitals, supercap versus supercap versus PL, because just is what it is, PL. But what we can do, in the art of war type things and whatnot, if you can't fight the ship head on, inflict as much collateral damage as possible. For example, I'm sure everybody in Brave, except for the 100,000 Ibis pilot that just joined up to fly a destroyer, yes?
Yes.
Didn't have time to get the YouTube stream active like I wanted to today, but work's been crazy. But the long and short of it is, you got fighter bombers, you take 10 to 15 destroyers and whatever, and one to two shots from those destroyers, and guess what? You just pop a fighter bomber. And guess what? You may or may not have lost 5 or 6, 10 destroyers. You may have even lost your entire 12, 15-man destroyer fleet to the Tengu fleet, but at the end of the day, one fighter bomber, if I'm not mistaken, is around the 40 million-ish range.
And we kill the Tengu, which is what you're saying.
And sometimes you kill the Tengu, too. But the point being here is, gents, we can't fight the super capitals head on, so we have to inflict collateral damage, which can be done in a variety of ways. So I'm not going to sit here and have 2 hours worth of discussion on it, but the bottom line is, Brave can field a 200-man destroyer fleet. Well, guess what? If you warp 200 destroyers into a massive fighter bombers, and you guys have an overview set up for drone tabs and everything, you tell everybody, you could do this a couple different ways. You could send in 10, 15-man fleets. You can send in a 200-man blob. Either one is equally effective, but either way, you go in there and start shooting up all their fighter bombers. Well, guess what? You start taking out their fighter bombers, 40 mil apiece. You have to haul them in freighters, or you can take them one at a time to the super cap. And at the end of the day, if you manage to kill one super's entire rack of fighter bombers, well, guess what? That super is not coming on grid until it gets another rack of fighter bombers out there. And that could be anywhere from 1 to 2 days to a week, depending on if they actually manufacture them locally, if they have a stock, or if they have to ship them in from Jeddah. But the bottom line is, if the super doesn't have fighter bombers, it's not coming on grid. And secondly, if you do that enough, they're not going to want to take supers out on field against you, because they're going to be like, oh, okay, we're going to take all our supers out and we're going to lose half our fighter bombers. And we're a mercenary alliance, and we're getting paid to do shit. And just like any other corporation, whether in EVE or in game or anywhere generally speaking in life or whatever, they're here to make a profit. So long and short of it is, again, if you can't kill the super cap, inflict collateral damage. Force them not to
run out their drones.
Hold on a second. Inflict collateral damage so it's not profitable for them to come out here and do what they got to do. That can be done a variety of different ways, like we were talking about, a mass destroyer fleet. You can bomb fighter bombers off the thing, off the grid. You can drop in Titan Bridge in a handful of battleships, say 15 to 20, and you can pipe bomb their fighter bombers. You can get a snipey tier 3 fleet, although that might not be the most effective, depending on SIGRAD and skills and whatever, but you can alpha them off the grid that way. A lot of different ways you can do it, but at the end of the day, we inflict collateral damage, guess what? They're not going to want to bring supers anymore, which means they're going to bring dreads. And they're going to, that being the case, great. We can take that same 200-man destroyer army, and we could probably damn near close to alpha and dread off the field, if not take it down in 20 to 30 seconds. But the point being is, gentlemen, that even though we are, we can't fight PLC Supercap for Supercap, Titan for Titan, and whatnot, you can force them not to want to bring their supers and basically break their will to bring supers, much like I've been seeing lately in the General Coalition that PL is breaking our will to fight because we can't fight the supers. Granted, everybody loves to get a super kill mail. I'm no exception. I'd get on every super kill mail. I'd take an interceptor all around Eve to get on it. But at the end of the day, if we can't fight the super again, gents, collateral damage. One quick example of us on that one, at least from EPA's perspective, we were in Intrepid Crossing way back in the days, and CSC was invading Cobalt Edge. They got a big super fleet over there. They were constantly throwing supercaps, subcapital fleets, you know, the whole fucking nine yards at us, right? But we knew we couldn't fight it. We knew we were going to lose Cobalt Edge, but we didn't go running for the hills. We fought a strategically retreating battle, and we made them pay for every inch of space that they took. For example, coming from Tenal region to Cobalt Edge, there's one pipe, one way to get in, and that's the only way to get in. Well, we constantly bombed every fleet coming in. We killed several battleships. They would always have stragglers coming through the gate. We would basically sit there in Black Ops, have scouts all up and down the pipe, and we would literally hot drop every freaking battleship that came through late, to the point where the only way that CSC could get into the region and do their ops was go straight into the first system in Cobalt Edge and go straight to a Titan and force them to Titan Bridge everywhere, as opposed to just run a fleet three jumps down the pipe to go do a timer. While it may seem insignificant at the end of the day, the long and short of it is they did not have the ability just to run a fleet down anytime they wanted at will. They were forced every time they wanted to go into Cobalt Edge, they had to Titan Bridge somewhere, which means they have to get a Titan pilot, they have to get it online, they have to get the fleet formed up, get on the Titan, they have to get the target signal in the area, and you're forcing the hostile side to do more work to achieve the same goal. Again, like I said, it may seem insignificant, but if you want to wear other dudes down, break their will to fight, make them work and work and work and work to get what they want, force them to do more logistics, force them to do more coordination of subcapital fleets, force them to push strategic titans here, there, and everywhere, and force them to work for every inch of what they have. And the long and short of it is, you may lose the objective, but you will win the fight every time.
Yeah,
go ahead and pause for a quick Q&A in Fleet. Just go ahead, if you have a question or whatever, comment, statement, just type it out in Fleet for me, please. And we'll give till 027. Yeah, you could use Blap Dreads to fight supers, but again, unless you're fielding like 150, 200 Dreads, you're not going to get far enough along the line before you start losing critical mass on your Dreads. What kind of destroyers you can use? You can use literally whatever you want. I prefer gunboats. My personal favorite is the Cormorant, just tracking on it with the hybrid buff that came out a year and a half ago, I think it was, maybe a year. It did the Cormorant.
Hey guys, the student fleet.
This whole round is pressed like a motherfucker. Don't know what that is, but there you go. If you get Blap Dreads on us and you're using a destroyer fleet, well, good luck having the Blap Dreads track you. And if they do actually manage to start tracking it, great. It'll take a Blap Dread 25 seconds ballpark, depending on how he's fit, to target a destroyer. And in that time, with 200 lab or destroyers on the grid or whatever like that, you see their recons, kill all their recons. If you kill the rapiers specifically, if you kill the rapiers, the Blap Dreads can't track, therefore you're running circles around and waving your deck going, ah, you can't shoot me, oh, fuck, you're dead, that sucks. For you, but not for me. If supers are always on your doorsteps, how does it limit the ability to use caps? It doesn't really limit the ability to use them. It makes you have to be more intelligent to use them. For example, those of you that are roaming around catch a lot, those of you that have been on a lot of fleet ops, take notice who's dropping signos in fleet. Add them to your watch list. Those of you that are FCing, like in a smaller game fleet, they're using caps and whatever. I don't know what your guys' position is on that as Hero Alliance, or sorry, Brave Collective, but look at PL's kill mails with the supers and everything. For example, go look at an IHUB kill mail, look at a TCU kill mail, look at a SuperCap kill mail, and then look at every super pilot that's on that kill mail. Bookmark it, add it to a watch list under a folder called PL SuperCaps. If you got a Capital Fleet out, you see a PL dude in system, and all of a sudden your watch list starts lighting up in the PL SuperCap category, chances are you're going to get dropped, and you probably should think about getting the fuck out. Also, one of the interesting things that we kind of get a laugh at out of here is every time we see one of Hurley's alts out here, he'll bring a carrier or something like that, and then we see his Titan dude log in, and every time it's like, oh, we got a carrier tackled. Oh, guess what? Hurley's jumping in, and you just lost a carrier. They will do that type of stuff. NCDOT did that type of stuff, put a bait carrier in the grid, and, you know, make them go after it, force you guys, not really force you guys, but try to bait you guys out to bring higher value ships out on grid, and then boom, they drop their entire, you know, their Dread fleet, their Carrier fleet, their Titan fleet, whatever you want on you, and they fuck you up. 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be able to prevent them from dropping super caps, but if you know that they're going to be dropping super caps, you can clearly see them logged in. 9 times out of 10, saving your fleet in battle is purely from having the intelligence that, oh, fuck, all their supers are logged in. Oh, fuck, they're in this pause. Oh, fuck, that's their normal sino hot dropper roll. Oh, fuck, I better get the fuck out. Do Capital Void Bombs see any usage in Capital Engagement yet? I don't think so. I'm not even sure they're in this game or they're coming in the December patch, but even if they are, they are a syndicate-specific type thing, so I don't expect population of those on the market anytime soon, although it could happen soon. I'm just not expecting it soon. Mobile sino inhibitors useful at all? Hell fucking yeah, they're useful. That basically puts, I believe it's a 200K sphere around you that they have to sino out and then warp down to you, so that can make the difference between, oh my god, I needed those extra 3 seconds to get my Capital Fleet aligned and warped out, and it can make the difference between you saving 20 carriers and you losing 20 carriers. Smart bombing dreads, yeah, I don't see that going over well, but it would be kind of funny. I think they'd be kind of troll fleet personally, but yeah, there you go. Yeah, and a good point from now Leo V and whatnot. Yeah, it is insanely hard to hit with the capital bombs, given that they only have a 4K blast radius. Granted, if you do hit them, they suck a shitload of cap, but the question is, will you hit them at the end of the day? Realistically, it's not hard. They fly 30 clicks, so you make sure you're 30 clicks from the target when you launch the bomb, and, well, problem solved, it hits your target. Kitchen sink of 200 desis to take down a triage carrier, depending on how he's tanked, probably a minute. Your average destroyer does about, what's it, like 300 DPS, if I'm not mistaken, or whatever, with insane tracking, but again, your destroyer shooting a capital, if you're missing, you're just really doing it wrong. But yeah, triage carrier cannot receive rep, so once he hits that triage button, if you notice it, go for it, kill it, take it off the grid, do whatever you got to do. Another example, last night or night before, when my days are a little blurred together, I've been working my ass off lately, but long and short of it is, last night, there was no fleet put up for the, was it the Bravo 3 timer that we're going to be fighting today in a little bit? Long and short of it is, gents, again, yeah, we can't fight the Supers head on, but a little thing of what did happen last night. Bloodline had a fleet out of about 25 bombers. We pinged for Brave as well, too, to join the fleet and come out there, and we got a handful. We maxed our fleet, I think, at 33, 34. But the long and short of it is, gents, we had 12 minutes on the grid and siege bombers, and with the new changes to SBUs, specifically minus 50% hit points, that fleet of bombers that we had out there basically stripped the shield off an SBU in 12 minutes. Now, again, that may not seem significant as it is, but if you know, again, people actually respond to fleet, and, you know, you want to get out there and keep your space, you know, get in fleet, handle your shit. It's really not hard. But the 12 minutes out there, if we had a 50-man fleet, or if it's even, let's just say a 60-man fleet of siege bombers and then a mess of destroyers or whatever else, in the 12 minutes we were on grid, we would have been able to kill that TCU, or SBU rather, replace it with our own, gain dominant control, and not be fighting this timer right now. Long and short of it, Jensen, again, this is kind of going off on a tangent here, but it's all kind of relevant and everything. We're living in SAW space out here. I assume everybody wants to live here, given that's why we're here. So at the end of the day, if you want to keep your space, you got to fight for it. That doesn't mean you have to take an ass whooping for it, but give, you know, we got to get out there, fight strategically. And again, if we can't defeat the ships in collateral damage. And, you know, basically break their will to bring supers out here. Titans is a whole different ballgame. That's a completely different conversation. And we're just dealing specifically with supers, since that's most of what we're seeing. But at the end of the day, again, take the fighter bombers, take the will, and, you know, we'll end up keeping our space. Not to say we're going to lose our space, but at the end of the day, everybody gets kicked out of their space at one point or another. There's no reality that you will be in catch forever. It's just not possible. So it's 032. We'll pause for another QA session again. Type it in fleet. We'll give till 040. If you got a question, comment, thoughts, ideas, whatever, you got a smart bombing dread, for the love of God, why? Go ahead and type it in fleet. Destroyers would die to a support fleet before hurting a spider tanking carrier, but again, we're not going after the carrier, we're going after the fighter bombers, and literally, you know, you warp on grid, kill 10-20 of them, warp right off grid. Yeah, you probably lost about 10-20 destroyers to the Tengus they bring or whatever, but at the end of the day, one fighter bomber is worth about 15 destroyers, so it's quite your way ahead. And again, you're only losing a destroyer, your super is losing their bombers, and ultimately the ability to fight. Mention on rage pinging for bomb damage. 10 times out of 10, when you're in one of my fleet and we are running a bomber fleet, do not even say a word on TeamSpeak or whatever until you read the MOTD. I'll say 9.9 times out of 10, everything you need to know will be right there in the MOTD. In addition to stepping up the game and everything, it's again kind of going off on a mild tangent here, but it's all equally relevant. Discipline it. I'll just put an example out there. Last night, or night before, whatever it was, we were in fleet and whatnot, and a couple dudes, I would give a command in channel, and a couple dudes always had to, like, feel the need that their voice needed to be heard and says, okay, confirm this. And at that point, you just broke comms, and I'm sitting there thinking how many different ways I'm going to tell you to shut the fuck up because we're trying to run a fleet here. I don't need to have everything confirmed. Yes, comms discipline. There's nothing important going on. You don't need to be saying anything. The only thing you need to be doing is looking at the MOTD, reading the MOTD, and complying with the MOTD. If you're utterly confused or whatnot, we're moving around, and you hear us giving commands, moving around, and whatever, trying to get something done. Don't jump in the middle of the conversation. Go, Hey, guy, where am I supposed to be? Because, again, you just broke the comms and everything, and everybody please starts thinking, hey, shut up. Oh, shit, I just died because I didn't broadcast a rip. Yeah, if you're taking bomb damage in fleets and whatnot, generally it's going to be a handful of bombs. It's not really going to hurt you mid-combat. And you take like 4 or 5 bomb damage, and yeah, you may have lost 10, 20% of your armor. There's really no need to broadcast for reps because the Logi guys, they're having enough trouble. Like, you know, if you get a battleship, you've been behind by 50 times. Yeah, they're focusing on keeping that battleship alive, and then, yeah. 30 different dudes broadcasting for ref, and they're like, yeah, good luck with that. Easy way to tell if you're being prime, not grid. If your entire overview goes flashy red, it's like, hey, they're shooting you. I should probably broadcast for ref. That is a fair point from Tango 2. Yeah, the rage pinging for bomb damage. Again, unless the SC calls, for like, hey, just ping, you know, ping for reps. If you got some bomb damage down, we'll get everybody back up, and that's great. But if the SC doesn't call it, there's no reason to broadcast for reps unless you got bomb the 10% structure, then yeah, you might want to broadcast for reps. Or if you're being primed, you probably want to broadcast for reps. But if you just got like 5%, 10% armor damage, nothing terribly crazy, you're not going out of all the flames, there's no reason to broadcast for reps. And yeah. Good point for B Brown too. If you start blinking all yellow, definitely broadcast early. That way they can get reps on you by the time they're off the limbs. It's no problem, Dangle. It's a fair point. It's good to cover all the details. It does seem like I'm going off on a tangent a little bit, but there you go. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We got a timer coming up here, real quick, gents. But again, the ballpark of it is, gents, PL is not here to take our space. I'll tell you my tinfoil hat theory, like I told you earlier. PL is basically here to keep us out of the fight because the rest of us is a 3 entity, even though we're still an independent entity and we just happen to work with M3 from time to time. If they really wanted to take our space, gents, it would have been done by now. That's the bottom line. It's like the extreme bottom line right now. So that being said, there's no reason to go running for the hills. There is a lot of reason to get shipped up and make sure you got your cockpit just ready to go so we can get in fleet, get out the door, and get formed up inside 30 minutes and not spending 2 hours trying to get everybody into the right ships at the right time at the right location, because it's really not that hard. And apparently I got to go fill a cup of pods for fuel, so yeah, there you go. In any case, gents, one last round of QA session in fleet. It's 0:38. We'll go till 0:45. Question, comment, thought, comment, opinion. Feel free to speak up in fleet chat, and we'll wrap this up. There's no guarantee on anything at the end of the day. Kind of interesting thing from Mitani. You know, those of you may not hate me, but the dude's a smart motherfucker. You really can't plan 2 weeks outside of you because the shit changes so fast. It may stop, it may not. Again, if they want to take our space, they want to take catch, it would have been done by now. But again, there's no reason to go running for the hills, crying home to mama, running back to high sec. You know, we're all out here in zero sec together. We all eat shit, breathe, kill, get killed, out in zero sex, so let's handle our business. And yeah, PL does farm tears too, so yeah, don't give them tears. Good fight them, break their will to bring supers, and they'll go away. Until it starts not being profitable to be out here, then they'll go away. For Solaris, do all caps need jump cal 5 now? It's not a bad idea. JC4 puts you at 4.5. JC5 puts you at 5. Yeah, there you go. I'm not going to comment on training cap fits based on our current direction. That is something that is that's dictated by your alliance or whatever. That's not my place to say. But you can fly a carrier, wouldn't be a bad idea. Yeah, not my place to say. Last call for any questions, answers, anything like that. We'll go ahead and break this up. You can stop listening to my dumbass talk. One thing I will say, though, on skill training, Cruiser 5, arguably, and Recon 5, arguably, one of the most effective skills you could possibly train. Same reason as Cruiser 5 starts unlocking strategic cruisers, force recons, combat recons. Recon 5 makes you fit that thing like a boss. But again, your alliance training quotas are, that's what you guys do, and we do what we do, and there you go. Not all cruisers are 5, but pick your racial cruiser 5 that you fly a lot of recon with. That's definitely the one you want to get to 5, but again, not my place to dictate other alliance training. All right, gents. Well, hopefully we bring some morale into here and everything. Again, our morale's high. Hopefully we can bring your morale up with us and whatnot. And we're going to go well a bunch of fucking fighter bombers tonight for PL. And we're going to cost them like a couple billion worth of damage, I'm thinking. So we will see you on the field shortly, and this will be broadcast. I'll actually be uploading this to YouTube later on this evening, and we'll make sure the link gets in the Brave Room, as well as I'll give it to Mr. Homeboy here in the channel, which I'm totally brain farting on your name. We'll get it put up on the Brave sites, too, so everybody can check it out. And tits for coming out, gents. Thanks for listening to me. Hopefully you guys aren't falling over dead asleep, and we'll see you on the field in about 45 minutes. Peace, gents. Yeah, and from Bloodline perspective, get some!